is funny.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Beth. Yeah. Walk with me.
Come take a walk with me, grab my hand. Let me school you, little bro, make you understand. You gotta run the streets to become a man. Just stay in your own lane, you can buy some land. I see the fire in your eyes. Don't fall into the trap, in the trap you can die. So many soldiers stand down in the sky. Pay attention to the vibe, that's what's keeping you alive. Have patience, just talk to me. Get out of line, you get chalked for free. I won't let you fall if it's up to me. And they say misery like companies. Don't let them put you down on companies. You know I got your back, you look up to me. It's okay to show love, but cautiously. It's okay for men to cry, but not normally. Let's start.
Yeah. Walk with me.
Relax, nigga, take a seat. You be acting all hard, you ain't from the street. Got a good family and somewhere to sleep. Nigga, I was house to house with nowhere to eat. I don't get you, niggas. These shoes can't fit you, niggas. You can play it off. Looking in your eyes, see you mask off. Pretending to be a G until they pull your card. Yo, you still young, don't take the road where I came from. Ain't nothing there. Couple of holes, a sippin' beer. Switching up, pose with the pole, ain't playing fair. Get up off that circle, you ain't earning shit with them squares. Before you get caught up and then happen to take a stare. Find a sense of tingling, feeling all in the air. And keep God close with the post and make a prayer.
Yo, this record for all your loved ones, man. Don't ever steer them in the wrong direction. Being real is a form of respect. Respect yourself.
Let's go, man. Being real, being genuine. Yourself.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online radio podcast. This Friday, March 11th, 2022. We have a good show in store for everybody tonight. We really do. I was just behind the scenes talking to my guest, which is my cousin, my real cousin. And we was about to get into some real deep conversation, as we always do when we talk. We build each other positives. And we had to cut it short because the show was about to start. But we're gonna pick up right where we left off at. I was telling him that it was ironic that the kind of day I had today. You know those days when you have the days when it just feel like you got a monkey on your back. Not a monkey, a gorilla on your back. You got a gorilla on your back and you see people for what you really see them for. And it's like you could see right through them. You could see the hatred or the hostility. You could see right in the larceny in their heart. You know, because everybody in your life don't want the best for you. But you got to want the best for yourself, and you got to just keep doing what you're doing and keep your head up, keep God first, and watch out for the haters. As me and my cousin always say, watch out for the haters. Well, we're not gonna prolong this. I usually deal with current events and talk about the thing, but everybody know what's going on in the world, and you know what I mean, it's kind of the current events with Russia invading Ukraine, and now they saying the COVID pandemic is over. I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks they'll be telling us to wear the mask again. I don't know. I'm keeping my mask on for now. As far as the war concerned, I don't really know what's going on over there. I try to pay attention to it as much as I could, but really we only know what they tell us. We don't really know what's the intricate plans and schemes of the powers that be, and we will never know. But I do know one thing. I know the United States is always prying and picking and dealing in everybody's business. And maybe they supposed to. I don't know. Maybe they have to. I really don't know. We got army bases all over the world. We the only country to do that. And we supposed to be so much about peace all the time. But we want to control everything. But I don't know. That's a whole nother subject. Would they say God bless America and bring the troops home? I was in the army too, so let's bring the troops home. Okay, look, without no further, you know, without no further delay, the featured attraction for the evening is no other than my cousin, Mr. We're gonna give him Mr. today, Mr. Craig Redman.
Hey, I'll take that.
I gotta bring you in proper, man, for real. Wait a
minute. Absolutely. Gotta sit down.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, you good. You sound good.
Oh, great, man, great. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be on with you, man. Absolutely, man. You know, what we were talking about, that was one of my messages that I put out in the universe today, this morning. Bring the joy in the room, you know. People, whether they like it or not, life is personal, man. You know, when we discuss about our journeys, how we feel, we didn't make it this far in life to be keeping it to ourselves and not being truthful to ourselves, and knowing that, you know, listen, we didn't get here on our own. Things had to happen the way they happened towards us and for us, because we wouldn't be the
right
person that we are. You know, all the prayers from our mothers, you know, and prayers from our fathers and stuff and grandparents, and, you know, that stuff, it keeps us. I know it keeps me, and Crusher, it keeps you. You're not the only one. I deal with real issues every day on top of everything that has already happened. But in order for me to keep going each and every day, I have to continue to grow inside out and go by those, you know, that code of life, man. Life is personal, man. It's journey, you know. People
right
look at all the, people look at all the worldly things, and you know, and the public is not responsible for, you know, we are public figures, and the public is not responsible for what goes on in your personal life. You know, I say that because that's one of the things that I learned, and being around entertainment, you know, all my life, really, is that the public is not responsible for what goes on. So I have conditioned myself as time went on. You know, I'm not ashamed to say I'm 55 years old, thank God. I learned that, you know, distractions come, because I was just reading, you know, in the Bible, how the enemy, he has a specific devil to try to chase you in life, and we have to be aware of it. And I know, you know, things come, but we always rebound. Why? Because we're covered by the prayers and the power of God that was prayed over us. We wasn't even paying attention, you know. And, you know, you had a rough day. I could sit here and tell you stuff all week, man. People forget. You know, I got a 9-to-5. I've been teaching and being an educator for 23 years, and I do behavior disorder. And, you know, it's some serious situations, you know, that you have to deal with and still have to love them. And you still have to educate them one way or another, try to get them to be educated, at least. And it was a tough week, Cuzzo. Trust me. It was a tough week.
It was. I think it was something in the air, but you mentioned that you were a teacher, right? For how many years?
23 years in the Patterson school system. 23 years I've been in the Patterson system and counting.
And you teach the special education.
Right, behavior disorder. Behavior disorder. Right. It's a challenge. I started out at Dell Lab in the 90s. In the 90s, I had started out in Dell Lab. And I left from there after a couple of years, and I went to the college and worked for several years. And then I came back to the board. It's challenging.
Is that real? Is that real? Behavior, what you call it? Behavior what?
Behavior disorder.
Behavior, you know, because I'm saying that because behavior disorder. I once read that it was something that they just was labeling inner city kids with, you know, years ago.
Well,
I heard that.
You know, BD, they call it BD, but that's the title that they gave it, and it proves itself. But I can cope with it because I was once them. You know, and that's in the book. I was once them. I say that because I was. But when I was going through that stage in the 70s, it wasn't as advanced as it is now. They were still experimenting with kids who had behavior problems, who couldn't cope with a class with 30 students in there. You know, that's what it boiled down to. At the time, I wasn't able to deal with a classroom full of kids back then. And you're talking 75, 74, 75, 76, or something like that. That's why you didn't see me in school 20 with my brothers and sisters, because they moved me.
So you had a behavior issue or disorder.
Yes, I did.
How do you grow out of something like that?
It wouldn't allow me to learn at the time. Couldn't cope with, you know, the classrooms were filled up, and I was distracted, you know. And I had strict parents, you know. It wasn't about that. My parents were very strict on me. They didn't even understand. It took my mother having a real good Jewish friend who kind of told her what to do at the time. You know, it was a bunch of us. So to have one totally different that way. But I could say that because yes was still yes and no was still no. That's number one. One thing my parents and my family, you know what I mean? One thing my parents and family didn't do, my aunts, uncles, my grandmother, my grandparents, my sisters and brothers, they didn't disable me. No was no, and yes was yes. You know, I mean, I see now everybody cater to that. I mean, I got to be truthful. No was no, and yes was yes. They still taught me how to be a productive citizen in society. And I met, when I left school 20, I went to a school. I don't want to tell the whole book, but I'm going to give some of it.
Right.
And a little synopsis of everything. I had to leave. Now, you got to remember, I grew up 31st, 460, in a house with two parents, a dog, the fence, you know,
right.
Backyard. You know, I got shipped to the north side. I'd never been down there. So I went from school 20 to Bunker Hill, which is no longer there. And if anybody know anything about the real Patterson, they know you had to be about it with your hands. And I'm not saying I was the baddest person in the world, But you better believe it didn't come easy. You know, it wasn't no picking and bullying me at that time. It wasn't happening. So they couldn't figure it out. It wouldn't allow me to learn. I wouldn't start nothing, but I was damn near sure enough finishing, you know. But I left from there, and I have went from Bunker Hill to School 4, and that's when I met, all in God's plan, I met my first special ed teacher, which was Lynette Moore, Michael Severson's sister. Was my first, one of his older sisters was my first special ed teacher. And it was the best thing that could ever happen to me in my life. You know, I was still functionable, great athlete. But she really, and that it was a twist with all that too. But I'm going to save that for the book. A lot of little things that took place. You know, a lot of little things that took place in the midst of me doing it. Again, I can say the difference between now they have all the resources. We had to go to the nearest school to catch the bus back then. Now they got all these resources. You know, the bus comes to the house. My mother and them didn't disable me because they never signed me up for SSI. I still had to function like a productive citizen. And I'm glad.
So it was a lot. And so that's what I was asking you before. So if you got the children now with the same thing, right? Do they? What about if they don't have a what you said? What was the teacher name? You said it was a teacher name. Your first teacher. Miss who?
Miss Moore. I can truly say I have worked some awesome co-workers and teachers. I can truly say I haven't worked with anybody who's been in that field that wasn't prepared or wasn't suited for it. You know, it's a lot. The technology is better now. You have more resources, and you understand you are being prepared before you even take it on. No one should never take that particular job and position if you're not prepared. If you think that you're going to go and put the apple on the table and come in and it's a fairy tale job, no, it's not that. You know, it hasn't
it's
been
more, it's more than that, right? That's what I was saying to you. So the children, I don't mean to cut you off, the children that you teach right now then, right, is it possible that they could grow up to be adults and still have the same problem? That's what I'm asking you.
Of course. I don't think it's a contract or a pill or water or something that says, oh, they outgrew it. But I can say this, and we had these discussions, if with the guys I got now, I went from high school to the fifth grade, because you remember I had your nephew. He was in my class
right.
at Eastside. So I went from
right.
that BD class to... They transferred me, and now I'm at public school number 20 with Dr. McKenzie as the principal. Great man. I'm working with Tracy Pearson, another great mentor. I can say some of these guys are geniuses. You know,
okay.
I can't quite claim they have a chance because it's his fifth grade. See, now when you see him in high school, it's really cutting it thin because now you don't went so far and your behavior haven't changed. You didn't buy into trying to be a productive citizen in life. Not all of them, but I could truly say some of the guys I have now are, I don't want to call their name, but if I could, I would, geniuses. When I say because they do work, they understand. It's a couple of them. That's online, a couple of them in the classroom. When I say they understand, they know how to solve solutions and problems. Their physical abilities is not like we were. I'm going to be honest. They're not built. They're not tough guys. You know, they're not tough guys. They're not those kind of fighters. But I can say I'm in a room with some geniuses, and I hope that they get all other stuff together where they can be a productive citizen in society. You know, I can say throughout my 23 years, I was proud of my guy from high school last year that I had that did graduate. I had them for 3 or 4 years. I can name some. You win some, you lose some. I got some that we gave it all we can, and you know, lost them to the streets.
That's gonna happen. That's gonna happen now and then. I guess that's gonna happen. You know.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
It sounds like it's really a task, or you know, it's serious when you think about it. Because I'm gonna tell you from my point of view, and I'm sure it's probably from a lot of other people's point of view. When I remember when I was in high school, I don't really remember too much about grammar school, because you don't really pay attention to. When you went grammar school, you know, it's all play, fun. I mean, you might see the yellow bus coming to pick up the kids, but you know, you really not focus on that too much. We worrying about playing sports and stickball and baseball. You know what I mean? Like, so you might see the bus come pick up the kids, the yellow bus come pick up the kids, and you might wonder why they on there, or you might hear somebody heckle them or say something, but you're really not worrying about that. And then, you know, you go to high school. I went to Eastside High School, and you know, the same thing, you know, I used to, you know, well, really my freshman homeroom was right next door to, I believe we called it H-Wing when I was in high school. And, you know, you I mean, you know, even though then in high school, I mean, you've seen the, you know, the class, and, you know, you didn't really pay attention to it too much. You knew that, well, those was like special, you know, like special kids, but you still never put too much energy, like, into it. Like, if you wasn't in there, we didn't really put too much energy into it. Like, you didn't never really know it was, you know, that big a deal. You would never know that it's much going on, and you got kids in there with, you know.
It's serious, because you cannot leave a young man or a young lady in regular ed. Because sometimes you got to slow things down for them. You know, it's doing them a disservice if you leave them amongst the population of regular ed, because everybody deserves to be educated in America. You know, everybody deserves to be equal education. So, and again, it leads back to teaching them how to be productive citizens in society. Now, some parents still got it twisted. Because it all starts at home after a while. And you got to remember, again, even though I had my situation, I had two parents, two caring parents that was married, same household. You know what I mean? So I can't even compare every time I have a conversation, I have to have a conversation with a single mom. You know what I mean? But the focus goes back to the young man or the young woman. You know, we got all boys. We have all boys, all males in the class. It goes back to that. Even though I have a conversation with them, but when I do, I still can't compare my situation, because again, I had two caring parents that were, no matter how hard my dad worked, mom, they cared enough, and inside and out, even in the household. They didn't cater to, again, me being his special, ooh, baby him up, ooh, let him do. No, you did wrong. You got checked. And I'm thankful that they didn't enable me by doing it. They did enough. You know, I'm not going to lie. They gave me my leeway with a lot of things, but I understood why they did it. It kept me, you know, really going 100%, 200% out in the street. A lot of things, and I was able to get away with growing up, and it worked. You know, it worked.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That, you know, that was a blessing, and that was a blessing in disguise right there to have the two parents. Let's move on off of that for a minute and switch gears here. Let's talk about some of the – I see that you had a drum clinic for kids, right? And I saw the flyer, and it said, if I'm not mistaken, it said 25 years. Is that correct? 25
Yes, correct. You are correct.
Tell us a little bit about the drum clinic. Tell us about how, why did it start, or how did it start, or where did it, how did you come up
yeah,
with
well,
it? And tell us about the struggles and the success of the of having a 25-year drum clinic for children.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a wow.
Tell us
start,
about the
I
first
start.
Year. Tell us about the first year.
The first one I did was I did it at a church. I did it at Creatures Temple Church, and I did one there. Then from there, I started doing them at the Passaic Community College. It's a community event. I started out doing it as a Black History program, Center for Black History. Start doing, and I should have been 27 years.
No, but where did you get the where did you get the idea from? How did it all come about? The first one.
Well, again, I did some workshops with. I got a chance to work with the great Maddie Marsh Clark and the Clark sisters when I as a young man. Coming up in the Church of God in Christ, I got a chance to do some workshops, and she really inspired me sitting up under her workshops and seeing how blessed people were by the gift of music. Again, I'm never saying that I'm the best drummer in the world, but one thing I learned is that I had to be the best who God created me to be. And when I made that decision, I procrastinated for a couple of years, worrying about what people was going to say and think, you know. I didn't want that limelight. But when God give you a mission, just like your mission that you're on now and you've been on in your life, once he give you that mission, you can't sleep until you take care of that mission. So I decided 25 years ago that's what I was going to do, and I did. I started out church, and then I went from there to the Passaic Community College, and I did one at the Y, downtown, a couple there. Then I start moving it to the Patterson Museum, you know, so I got to give a shout-out to all of everybody, the mayor, the new mayor. I got to give it out to Andre, Benji Wimberly, Mr. Cozart, Raheem Smallwood, Glenn Brown. Big shout-out to the church, Faith Chapel, Kelly's Temple, Hackensack, just great people, you know, yourself, you know, great people.
So tell us what the drum, what is the drum clinic? What really is the drum clinic?
Well, drum clinic is basically live instrumentation that we want to keep going. You know, again, they took music out of the schools, you know, that's been a struggle for years. Music out. So like I said, I'm not trying to say that I'm the best drummer in the world, but I want to be good at who I am and what I can do. And the drum clinic consists of 5 to 6 drummers, live drummers coming together. We all get together and we open up the workshop. We shed. This year, because of COVID, we did a little different, no hands-on. But in the past, the regular drum clinic, people break after we introduce ourselves and we call what you call shedding, and we all play together and kick it, you know, solos, and we do this. We let the people know, rightfully so, individually, we get a chance to groove and do solos and stuff, and then come back into the pocket. We do that for the audience first. Then we break up into groups, hands-on. Or they break up to groups, and they can go to the instructor that they want to go to. I expanded it for a couple years back. I moved it to a music workshop because I realized you had kids that wanted to play more than just drums. I did a guitar along with it. I did a vocal class. Shout out to my brother, Pastor Dale Redmond, for doing a vocal class. All the you know, all the musicians came through there, and I only use professional musicians, you know, really, because, again, it's not just about your talent. I want people that's connected to this that can inspire the boys and girls. There's no gender when it comes down to it, because you have an awesome bunch of young ladies that can be
So it's all ages.
All ages, and where can a kid come in Patterson and walk into a room and see six drum sets set up? Six drum sets, sometimes seven. Six drum sets when they walk in a room. Okay, if they try to do that somewhere else, California, Philadelphia, New York, to register is easily $200. Easily. I do mine for free. All right, 25 years, I do it for free. Here in the city of Patterson, I've been doing it for free. And if they think they can get it somewhere, and we give away drum sets. We give away brand-new drum sets. We do it like a dollar raffle. And this year we did three brand-new drum sets we gave away.
You gave away three drum sets?
Brand-new drum sets out of the box. So,
wow. That's
someone,
amazing.
Yeah, TV people.
That's
so
amazing.
Everything, I just started getting sponsorship the last couple of years. Nothing goes in my pocket. Everything goes back into the workshop. Me being a musician, I do offer the instructors something, and a lot of them, they want to get back to the workshop, but I still offer them something because regardless, they are professional. If you're nothing right now, but a tank of gas.
You said something a little while ago that I got to add on to. You said that it's no longer music in the elementary schools. I can remember being in the fourth grade and at school 20. I'm sure you're familiar with this. And Mr. Roof came there, music teacher, and he spoke to you know, they brought all the classes to the auditorium, and they said that he's gonna be there. He's gonna be teaching drums and trumpet and saxophone and clarinet. I'll never forget him, Mr. Roof, and I was 9 years old. So I really wanted to play the saxophone, but my mother, like, we couldn't afford that at that time. So the cheapest instrument to learn how to play was the clarinet. So,
right.
You know, you used to have to pay every week, you know what I mean? You had to rent the clarinet. So I took a clarinet. I started playing the clarinet and when I was 9 years old, in fourth grade, and I played the clarinet. I remember I used to carry my clarinet. I don't know if it was every Thursday or every Tuesday, but every week I would carry my clarinet. Even I remember running home with my friends, and I got my little clarinet case, you know, because back then it was assumed to be like a female's instrument, you know what I mean? But I didn't care, you know, because our family, we all musically inclined, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Your family is all musically inclined. Mine is too. Both my brothers all three of my brothers played the guitar and flutes.
Yeah.
My mother played the piano.
Yeah.
I played the saxophone. I played the clarinet. I played the little drums. It's in our bloodline. And
what you're saying is,
I remember when I went on to high school. I remember when Mr. Nelson, Eastside High School band director, came to my house after I graduated from eighth grade, and he came to my house to tell me, because Mr. Roof told him about me, and he invited me to practice for Eastside High School for the band, and I didn't want to go there. I just want to tell this real quick. I didn't want to go to high school playing. I was so naive. I didn't want to go to high school playing the clarinet because I thought it was a female instrument. So believe it or not, from June, I graduated from eighth grade. You know, we graduate in June, and then school starts in September. I would have been a freshman. So from June to September, I taught myself how to play the alto saxophone, and I went to school in September in Eastside High School Band playing the alto saxophone. But big mistake, because if I would have went to Eastside High School Band playing the clarinet, which I was playing since I was 9 years old, could you imagine where I could have went with that in high school? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because learning the saxophone in 3 months, it held me back. Even though I still went on to march with the band, and in the 10th grade, we won best section and all kind of stuff like that. But if I could do it all over again, I would have just stayed with the clarinet, because it was guys playing clarinet in high school, you know what I mean? But that was a big mistake I made. But you was actually a band director, right?
Yeah, I wind up, you know, God has been so good, and I wind up doing I was a drum instructor over at Kennedy in the early 2000s, 2000, and I stopped in 2005 or 2006. It was excellent.
Why you didn't go to Eastside?
I graduated from school four. Told you they put me in special ed.
Oh, you was down the hill.
I was down the hill already. And you got to remember, my brother was already playing at Kennedy and, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I went on and, you know, there. But I wind up, even with that, Henry, my oldest brother was the first one who introduced me to marching band, and it was unbelievable that I wound up working there. I just stood in the band room years ago when Mr. G. Gordon hired me to be the drum instructor, and I had my oldest son back then, and my niece was in the band. This was like 2000, and I stood in the band room and went, wow. I remember coming here as a little boy, and Henry, my oldest brother Henry, brought me there. 1979, he brought me to the band room.
That was a good year.
He brought me to the band room when I was a little kid.
Right.
And you know, that opened my eyes up to it. Then I wound up being blessed enough to get hired and work there. Then years later, I wind up maybe about two years ago, before the pandemic, Eastside hired me. Dr. Glisson, God rest his soul, he hired me as a musical director. I was looking to build the program up. I was just on the urge. What you just told, that story about Mr. Nelson going to the house, you know that story is that story you told me before when I was telling you I had a job. They hired me as a musical director. It's in the books. And I started. He gave me permission to start going out to other schools and recruiting. And I started to recruit kids, charter schools, all over. I was going to go to houses. I was going to go to knock on doors to get kids. But he passed away. And, you know, you get new administration. And God just had another plan. And they transferred me. So I never got a chance to finish
he recruited me. He came to my house. I didn't know nothing about that. But look, we got a lot to touch on. But look, I gotta say something. I don't mean to cut you off. If anybody is on the line, I forgot to say this earlier, and you want to speak to Craig Redman, or you want to speak to me, or you want to give a shout out, or you just want to say something about the show, you got to press 1, and then I can bring you in live, because if you don't press 1, I don't know you there. And the people that's out there that's on the link, you know, I mean, I appreciate that, but I can't, you can't go live unless you call in. So if anybody is on the phone lines, I see a bunch of people on the phone lines. If anybody on the phone lines and you want to say something, you have to press 1, and then I'll bring you on live. But, I'll bring you on live, and then you can make a comment, or you can make a statement. Or if you just want to if you just want to say hello, you know what I mean, you're out there listening to the show. Hey, cuz, we're going to I'm going to play a quick song. I want you to stay with me. You know, we're going to take a quick break, take a quick song, exhale, inhale, and we'll be right back, cuz I want to move on, and we want to talk about a couple of other things, you know what I mean? We got to talk about this book. We got to talk about the movie. We got to talk about growing up in Patterson. We got a lot to touch on, and we not that much time. So right now, everybody, just like I said, if you want to say something, you have to press 1, and then I'll know you out there. You know what I mean? And I want to thank everybody that's out there listening, because without you, it wouldn't be no me. You could be anywhere, but you right here with me listening to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. And once again, we'll be right back after this song. Peace.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Again, I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. We here with my special guest, Craig Redmond. We just heating up a little bit. We heating up the microphone a little bit. I was kind of feeling a little down. You still here, cuz?
I'm here, man. I'm here.
Okay, all right. I don't know if everybody know me. Our grandmothers were sisters, in case you just think I be throwing that cousin around. Nah, this is real. My grandmother
real,
and his grandmother were sisters, so you can't get no... You can't get no more realer than that.
Oh, they used to look just alike. They looked just alike, too. When
I oh, yeah, they did. They looked alike. When I first saw your grandmother, I was like, wow, they look like twins. like Indians, dark skin with the long wavy hair. Like, I'm like, oh my god, they look like twins.
If anybody don't know,
and outspoken,
very outspoken, both of them, very outspoken,
both of them. From Georgia,
I had a love for it. Let me tell you, I got a chance to go down there with your father, my father, and my grandmother. We drove down there in the van, your dad's van.
I remember that.
Yeah, I had to be about 12 years old,
right,
when I met him, and I met Red and Rooster.
Yeah, my grandfather.
What an experience, man. I'm telling you. It was totally different.
Yeah, we done been on fishing trips, and we go so far back. I mean, it's a blessing that God allowed us still to be here and talk like this with each other, because if you really think about it, you know what I mean? And I've told this story even way this is ironic too, that I gave my first book signing in 2008. And your band performed at my book signing in 2008, so big, full the Masonic Temple up, folded it up, and it's crazy, because just think about it, your book is coming out this summer, and I'm writing your book, and then we're going to do a book signing, and hopefully I want it to be bigger than mine was, because I had your band there, I had comedians there. I had so much going on, ladies walking around, selling. I had so much going on at that book signing, and I anticipate that your book signing will be better, bigger, and better than mine, with a bigger turnout and a better one. And I can't see it being anything less than big success.
Absolutely. I got some people in my corner, you know, that's definitely going to be a part of it, that, you know, I'm going to have a couple of them, you know, for what it looked like, a couple of signings in a couple of different places. But when I come home, we're going to make it big. I'm going to have one. And
where you want to do your first sign? Where you want to do – come on now, let the cat out the bag. Where you want to do your first book signing at? Where you want to do it at?
I think my – first signing to probably be a private one, man. Invitation only for the first one. I'm gonna do it at a house. It's gonna be in a maybe my own house, but it's gonna be at a house. That's all I'm gonna say. It's gonna be very intimate. Signing the first one so far, because like I said, I have some people working with me that work with Tyler Perry, and they I've been knowing them for years. They love the vibe. They love the story already, and I just got finished talking to them, and they said, definitely, man, you know, they'll do whatever it takes to support and lead and guide me. You know, actually, one of them is a manager, so I'm looking forward to, just for the book, you know, manage that.
Right.
I got enough going on, and we already talked, you know, so
let's talk a little bit about that without talking about it too much in net. You know, in depth, without talking about it too much in depth. Most people know already that you were assaulted, 5 years ago?
8 years ago. February
8 years
the
ago?
Eight.
Wow, time flies.
You was
assaulted 8 years ago in where, Connecticut, PA?
Wilkesboro, PA.
PA, okay. And it was a white man. It was a white man, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's why the title of the book is called Everything Don't Happen in the Hood, right?
Everything Bad Don't Happen in the Hood.
Everything Bad Don't Happen in the Hood. We've been working on this book for so long. It's way overdue. I'm about 2 years in the hole with this book, and that's all on me, because I'm sure you're an artist like me, and we got gifts from God, and I got a gift from God. It's writing, and everybody know that, like, I'm not a procrastinator or delay. It's just that when you got a gift from God, you know when you know. You know
right.
what I mean?
When
and
I
when, and
the
when the time is right, when the time is right, God will guide my hand and across that paper, and it'll be the right time. You know what I mean? And now is the right time.
Yeah, it's no success like God's success.
Right.
And you're talking, it's no success. Like you see, I haven't gotten in the way. When I say I totally trust you, man, this is good. Everything is lining up. You know, the world is instant. You know, they want everything instant. But God's principles don't change. You know, you got to be patient. You got to be prayerful. You know, and I know everything is going to fall in just like it's doing. You know,
so look, without telling us too much, I'm sure everybody know you was assaulted, and you lost an eye when you was assaulted.
Yes,
right.
Eye. Yeah.
We don't want to get too much into the, because I know it's still a legal matter and all that, and plus we got a book coming out, and then we're going to try to do a movie and all that, so we don't want to spoil the fun and get too much into it, but let's talk a little bit about your recovery.
Wow.
Or, you know what I mean? Your recovery from losing an eye. How has that affected your life in a positive and a negative way?
Right, well, I go with anything that you lose, you know, you're going to feel it. Toe, finger,
right.
leg, whatever. You know, losing the eyes, the same. I had my days. Yes, I went to therapy. I took a lot of therapy. I never thought I'd be on this conversation that I'm on right now.
Right.
It's not easy. I can't run downstairs like... You know, I could try to act as normal as I want to, but life changed. I was 47 then when it happened, and it changed my life. You know, it really did. You know, I got to watch what I do, how I do it. You know, one of the things people don't realize, as of now, I mean, I have a twitch. I jump now because it messed up a nerve. I have a twitch that nobody knows, nobody's around me, but I know, you know, my immediate family, my kids know. I twitch because of that now. It messed up a nerve, and then it seemed like I'm doing it on purpose, but it seemed like the older I get, the harder that twitch comes. And it's alternated a lot of things, you know, on me. But one of the things that I gained strength from is I gained strength from the situation. I really did, because one of the things, in order for me to have move on with my life and do what I'm doing, I had to forgive. And my attorney even said he'd never seen anybody heal up as fast as I have. And
right.
And all that came through the love. The understanding, my comeback. You said it back. You said the magic word. Even soon, I'm going to be throwing a private party and a get together for the person and people who, family members, friends who was there for my comeback. You know, someone said to me a couple of weeks ago, "Why you want to do that?" And I was just like, "Wow." Number one, me and my family don't have a problem with each other. We love each other. And if
right.
I want to throw something like that personally, it's personal to me, because I could have been gone. That baseball bat could have killed me. So I just want to do a get together, you know, with the people. And you were a big part of it, because you believe it or not, you were the first person to come and take me to go and get lunch. During that course of time, you took me.
Yeah,
to
I didn't even know when I came and got you. That was your
yeah.
first time coming out after
the
assault.
I had been damaged emotionally. I didn't go to work. You know, God bless Lydella, my lady, you know, up in heaven, that, you know, she's passed on, but such a big help. You know, my children, you know, I always give a big shout out to, you know, my son, Christian, you know, they really, you know, my oldest son, everybody grieved different. It was hard for them to see me like that, like this, you know. And it was you broke down. I never saw you broke down like that. When you took me to Frank and Joe's,
right.
I was happy to be out, man. And you broke down, and you said you're not used to seeing me like that, because I was still all messed up trying to just make it. So I just want you to know that, yo, because you was a big part of my comeback. You know, when I say comeback, you know, it was just it was amazing, man. Like, the love and the attention that I received in order for me to heal up. You know, my family said, listen, we've been working hard since 9 years old. It's time for you to heal up. Take this time to heal up emotionally, spiritually, everything. Because I didn't stop trusting God. Trust me, I didn't stop. I didn't stop. No way, no how of trusting God. My recovery, it wasn't. It's one thing for tears to be down your eyes when you stand up coming down, but it's another thing when tears are coming in your eyes when you're laying on your back, not knowing what happened, what's going on. So, you know, a lot of good people, you know, I got a lot of good people. I even got a shout out my good friend, you know, Shamika. You know, I remember she threw a get together. I when I think about it, I'm like, wow, you know, they didn't have to do that. Brenda, all that's in the book, Brenda Mickens. My first time I went to have lunch, I walked across the street from my house, and I was terrified, thinking that the attackers were going to jump from behind the car, for real. People don't understand, man. I got a different perspective for victims of any assault now. You know?
I know when me and you went out, you was a little bit, like, uneven a little bit. You know,
oh,
we
man,
went
a
out
whole
to,
lot.
You know, when I came and got you.
Yeah, I was all messed up. I was happy that you came and got me, number one. I was
right.
happy. You know, but then it was just, you know, making that comeback, man. And, you know, and a lot, you know, my family, man, my brothers, you know, my sisters, I just think my aunts and uncles, and I just thank them, man. You know, I think it's good people, man, good people. You know, and the person that said, why would I want to do something like that? They wasn't around, so I can't hold it against them. And everybody have something to say until it happened to them. You know?
Right.
Everybody have something to say because, you know, the stories was all over the place, you know. Everybody was there. I was with somebody else's wife. I was in Chicago. I was in California. Everybody had their own made-up stories. But, you know, God knows and I know, and they'll know the truth when they get the book, because everything bad don't happen in the hood. That's all I can tell you. Everything bad don't happen in the hood. People talk.
That's
but I
right.
Didn't lose my...
it's,
I didn't lose my
it's funny when it's not funny, but I remember I remember when it first happened, and I was hearing like so many different stuff. He got caught with a married woman, or he was with somebody. He was had somebody girl, and oh man, the story was
so
coming
crazy.
In.
People give themselves away, because then and now, when I walk in the room, you should have saw people's faces, because I guess they expected me to be so broken down and, you know, whatever, you know, not coming back, not playing or whatever. You know, people give themselves away. Then and now, because they know where those face. I don't want them around me anyway because they don't know I'm a real person. I'm being real. If they listen and pass the word, I ain't a people person like that where, you know,
you ain't never seen me.
No nonsense, man.
No nonsense.
Let me put it out there right now. They ain't got to like me. I'm good. I'm good in being who I am.
Hey, yo, I tell people, like, we came a long way, man. Like, I hear you, like you saying, we both had two-parent upbringings coming up. We was on the east side, you know, East 30. You was on East 31st between 18th and 19th. I was on East 31st between 17th and 18th. So we was one block away. We played my block street team. Back then we played street games. Our block street against your block street. You know, right in back of your house. Right in back of your house. Me and you, all, even though I'm a little older than you, me and you always had a certain kind of bond. You know what I mean? And then when I tell people, like, me and my cousin used to switch clothes. Like, I tell people, when we was young, we used to, in the morning before school, you got something brown to match these brown pants.
Exactly.
You got something blue.
I got a blue shirt.
You got a brown pants. I got a brown shirt. You got a blue pants.
It's funny now,
you know what I'm saying? But back then, it was real.
Yeah, it was real.
It was real.
Listen, like I would tell anybody, me and my family, we ain't got to talk to each other all the time, but we ain't never had no problem with each other, and we ain't. You know, a lot of families don't get along, man. They fighting each other. We've been through so many wars.
But
God.
I never called you for my battles. You never called me for your battles. But we've been through some damn wars. Let me tell you, we've been through some wars. You know what I mean?
What make our bond
and everything? Because what we do. After the war is over, we call each other and we tell each other, yo, cuz, you ain't going to believe the bullshit I just went through, or you ain't going to believe what this sucker
just did.
Or you're
not
going to believe
that. Because I just went through mine,
you're
too. Like, forget
believe,
it.
Yeah,
it.
Or you're not
going
to believe the hate. Or you're not, you know, we've been doing that since the 80s, man. You know what I mean? Like,
because
the hate don't stop. You know what I mean?
Hate, people are still in denial.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. So people are still in denial. Like, I was working, you know, I just did the art show for the City of Passing for Black History Month, and I'm thankful. I gave a shout-out to Della Fisher and the mayor, Andre Sayer, for them putting my artwork in the Black History, art show at City Hall. But I was talking to a young lady. She's younger. She was a great artist, painting, artwork. And I felt as though she just, you know, you want to feel like everybody loves you and all that. I said, honey, hate is real, you know, and hate has no color. So
no.
Let me send warning out there right now for all the soul people. It has no color. When you deal with Craig Redman here. Listen, I don't have no favoritism because, you know, a lot of hate comes from our own people, too. You know, we already know where we stand. I know where I stand as a black man. But I'm not going to sit here and make no excuses for us. I'm not going to sit here at the age of 55 and make no excuses for the cliquest people that have cliques and favoritism, fraternities. Or whatever, you know, people, you know, do a lot of stuff, man, a lot of clicks. But God is amazing in my life because I've been able to maneuver and move around, go under, go over, through you, or whatever, in my life when I knew people try to close doors on me. God just opened it right up.
That's true. And I wanted to say this. I feel bad. I forgot her name. Your lady who passed away. I forgot. I feel bad. I forgot her name. What's her name?
Yeah. Man, you could call
her. What was her name?
Lynn
was cool. Lynn was rest in peace.
Yeah.
I gotta say something, you know, and then we can take a moment for that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going by my cousin's house every weekend. I'm taking notes because I'm writing this book. That's the gift I got from God. So I just go and I just tell people, look, just talk. But you had your own notes, so that was good. And I just sat and I just took notes. And you might have heard this. I don't know if you heard it, but I always say, I said, I'd be like, cuz, like, man, we got to put something. We gotta put something juicy in this book. We gotta put something in this book, and you always be like, nah. We gonna put it in the next one. I'm like, you sure? We gotta, you know, let's put a little, you know, let's put some, you know, let's put some. So I don't want to say that because then people gonna say, oh, it don't got that in the book. But anyway, I was like, yo, let's put something in the book. And I always remember Lynn coming out the room saying, I told him. He don't want to tell them story. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I always remember her saying he don't want to put them stories in the book. He don't want to put them stories.
Like, no, next book.
And then we all laughing, and then you say, like, no, I'm gonna put that stuff in the next book. This book ain't for that. You know what I mean? And rest in peace, Lynn. You know what I mean? But
yeah. Listen, that was definitely my inspiration, man. And I'm glad that I got a chance to experience knowing her and being with her, because she taught me what a real friend is, what a real friend should be, because she was a true real friend. She wasn't fake, phony.
Very cool, very cool, very cool to be a female, very cool. Always polite.
Right.
Always
how
polite,
to handle,
always respectful, always home hospitality, knowing how to act at home and abroad. You know what I mean? I don't know about, you know, you and her was in a relationship, but I'm talking about, like, you know, whenever I came there, it was just real. That's all.
The atmosphere, everything was real. No drama, man. You know, I mean, I'm being honest. I mean, because people want to get to know somebody, and they want to get somebody in life, and they got a lot of drama with them. And see, once I read you, you finish. You know what I mean?
The thing with that is that she's going to be in the book, so she's going to, you know what I'm saying, she'll live forever. She already living forever, but I'm saying
in the
book. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we got parts in the book about her, so that's a good thing. That's really, really, really a good thing too.
So,
man, we got.
You know, I got the title for the next book already. I already done sent it off and everything. The next book is going to be I Never Had to Use a Gun.
Oh yeah, you told me about that. I never had to use a gun. We need it's people on the phone line that you got. It's people on the phone line. I know what time it is. No, if somebody on the phone line, if you want to press one, you know what I mean, and say hello, you know, just speak to Craig or say, you know, congratulations or something. It's people on the phone line, but, you know, I already know, me and you is just alike because I already know. It's people on the phone lines, you know what I mean, but they. We ain't going there tonight. They just listening, that's all.
Let them listen, it's okay.
Yeah, I love all my listeners. Just let them listen tonight. Let them listen tonight. We ain't going that way.
We ain't going that way. But anyway, can I plug in March the 19th, I'm doing a performance next Saturday, March the 19th.
Oh, yeah, plug in everything. Go ahead. Plug in your Facebook,
yeah.
Instagram, your shows, everything. Go ahead. It's you. Go ahead.
I'm going to be doing a no cover charge, great restaurant called Smokehouse, Brothers Smokehouse, Route 17, March the 19th from 7 to 10. Listen, we're going to lay it down. This pandemic has hit us. You need to come out and enjoy yourself. Great food. I played there with a reggae band Saturday, and it was jam-packed. They're not making any reservations. First come, first serve. We will be starting at 7 p.m., and we will be ending at 10. We're going to do like two shows, okay? Great food, and my music can be reached at cclearproduction.com. www.cclearproductions.org. Go to that. I am endorsed. I have endorsed products. I have T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, phone covers. I'm endorsed by Soul Tone Cymbals. So support and my music. You can go to that. It's on Spotify. Everything. Get to know me. Combinations, streams. The latest one is Get to Know Me, and I hope you guys are enjoying the music. I'm about real good music because there's not a day without music. Come out
definitely,
next week.
Definitely.
Come out.
Definitely, definitely. We're gonna go to one more break, and then I'm going to come back, and then we're going to close this thing out. If you're out there and you want to speak to, we got somebody. We got somebody out here that want to say something to somebody finally. Everybody just listening to you tonight, cuz. But I know what time it is.
Nice. It's okay. I love them anyway.
I know.
There might be some haters on there, but just remember it. To yourself.
Hold on.
I'm not Henry Badaro.
Uh-huh. For 7326, you live.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Randy, this is Deborah Alexander.
Hey, Deborah, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. No, I just wanted to, you know, to Craig, just say, you know, it was kind of hard to listen to your story, everything that you had to go through and endure. However, to hear your comeback and that you know, so we praise God and thank God for that. And I would love to read your book. And Randy, I always see you posting yours online. However, being legally blind, it's kind of, you know, I love to read and write, and I love to read books and support other people. But my question to both of you guys is, do you guys plan on offering your books, what everything that you guys are doing, to put it in a format of like an ebook for people who do have visual impairments that we could support as well? Because
sure. Thank you for that. Yes, me, Craig.
I'll go first. Most of my books are an ebook. So you legally blind? You said,
yeah.
So you use the audio book or you use the ebook, you said?
Well, I listen to a lot of my stuff on audio. A friend of mine, she's an author, so she, you know, I got her book on an ebook. So my computer, because I use Zoom Text, it, you know, I can enlarge the font where I can see it, or my computer will read it out. Because the prints in the book are too small, I can't. You see it.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, most of my books are in ebook. When I finish writing his book, it's gonna be. I'm gonna make sure that it's in paperback and ebook form. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to add on that, Craig?
Yeah.
Craig,
I'm for it. Whatever we have to do. Nice for you to come on. Thank you for coming on. Whatever we have to do, we'll do that. I'm for it. I'm with it. You know, anything we got to do, thank you, and God bless you all.
No, thank you.
Hey, Deborah,
a lot of times,
I thought, I thought you wanted me on your show, Deborah.
No, I do. I just have to, my calendar was just filled up for the year, so I just have to wait. I'm starting my new calendar. But I got you. I didn't forget.
Okay.
I got you. But thank you. But,
okay,
I enjoy the show, and thank you guys for sharing.
Yeah, thank,
no problem.
Thank you very much, because I've been working on his book like 2 years now, and, you know, it's really,
okay.
it's really a good story, because we don't talk to get too much in it. We don't want to give a book away, but he actually lost an eye in an assault.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I lost my left eye over that assault. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. So you know, even though your other eye, you know, you can see out of it, but so, you know, we kind of can relate to that, because whether you're any type of visual impairment is hard. So
it's hard.
How long you been blind, Deborah? How long you been blind?
No, I have usable sight, but, you know, according to doctors, it's still considered legally blind. With some things you just don't see or whatever, whatever. But since I was young, you know, years. But
oh,
you just make it
young.
Work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every day,
gotta
make it work.
You sound good. You sound very cheerful and energetic, and that's a good lesson.
Yes, it is. But I wanted to put that question out there only because, like, when I ask other authors and stuff like that, and then they're just like, either they don't answer or they're not going to put the effort in to have their books available like that, and I love to read. I just, that's my thing. But it's like, you know, so I just think that people need to offer their books, you know, for us, in the, you know, that have visual impairments, because, you know, we would like to support and, you know, read it. So I hope you guys jump on that and find a way to get it in an ebook format so people can, you know, maybe download it and let their devices listen, you know, to be able to listen.
We definitely, Craig, have to do that.
Absolutely, man. I'm on it already. I'm on it. No problem. Whatever needs to be done, we're going to do it. Trust me.
All right. Awesome.
Where you calling from, Deborah?
I'm in East Orange. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. East Orange. Okay. Not too far from. We home-based in Patterson. My show is based in Patterson, New Jersey, but it's not too far. But
No, it's not too far. I go out there sometimes to that mall and have lunch. So
I used to play at East Orange, that mall that's out there.
I don't know the name of it, where the IHOP and stuff is. I used to go out there and, you know, do lunch and stuff like that. Yeah.
I was on your live last week, and I think you was at the mall, but you didn't show your face. You just showed the mall.
Oh, yeah, I just show the mall because I'm too busy trying to hold the phone, walk, and do the most. So, yeah, I just show the mall.
I was waiting for you to put the phone on you.
Oh, no, see, I'm learning. I don't even know how to do that part. So. I'm working on it.
Look, thanks for calling in, and thanks for offering that information. For real, I really appreciate you calling in. I'm sure I'll see you. You'll be on Farr's show tomorrow night. For that. All right. Okay, Deborah, you take it easy. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
You know
thank you both.
Touch. You know how to get in touch with me on Facebook when you're ready for me
to become
a guest on your show. I like being a guest on people's show. It makes me feel important.
Well, you guys are important. You guys keep doing what you're doing, and thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you very
God
much.
Bless.
All right.
Later.
Like I said, if you wanna come on live, you know, it's nothing. You just press one. See how easy that was? Deborah made that look easy. We got a couple more. We got like about 11 more minutes. Anything you wanted to get out there to the people? You know what I mean? Cause before we move on, is anything you wanted to say or anything anything like that?
Yeah, I want everybody to go online. Again, go to www.cclearproduction.org and look at my endorsement merchandise. I have T-shirts, hoods, mugs, phone covers. And besides that, I want people to come out to the show next week. Come out to Smoke, Three Brothers Smokehouse. And come and enjoy some live music, some smooth jazz, some R&B, soul music. I'll be doing my one of my number one tracks. I think I'm ranked number 5. If you go to Reverb Nation in New York, and it'll show you globally where my music is, where I'm at as an artist. I've been doing it for years, but just want everybody to come out March 19th, which is next week. Next Saturday, no cover, great food. Pay for your food.
He said no cover. I haven't been to one of your shows in a while, because I'm telling you, I'm definitely going to try to make this one. I haven't been to one of your shows. I get there when I can. And, like, you support me, we support each other. But I'm definitely going to try to make this one.
It's 15, 20 minutes away, straight up the highway, man, the 17. We start at 7. I'm telling you, we start at 7 on the dot, and we're done by 10. Great crowd, great food, man, and I need that love, man. Bring the love in the room.
Right.
Bring the joy in the room. Buy music,
you,
man.
You
know, we're going to good music.
You definitely
enjoy
do.
Yourself.
Let me plug a couple of things. Like I said, I'd like to thank everybody who listened in tonight. Tomorrow night, if you're not busy, at 7 o'clock, we got another podcast called Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. It's the host, Forrest Nance, where they talk about health, veganism, keto, heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes. It's a good show. Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. And then Monday nights, we got Humble Life Experience Radio with my man Dre Starr. With you know, you've been having a lot of people on. You know, they represent for the disabled people in the world. Him and V Tony, and really that's about it. Cause I'm trying to think if we miss anything before we close out. Did we miss anything?
I don't know, but I'm just thankful.
You gave out some shout-outs, you did all that.
Yeah, I'll give some more. I'll give a shout-out to my family, man. I'll give a shout-out, like I said, to Shamika Jackson, great supporter, great friend. I'll give a shout-out to Denise Smith.
That's my last name, man.
Yeah, you see that? And I got to give a shout-out to Lisa Muhammad, great supporter. My son, my kids, you know, I thank them, my co-workers. If Mr. Tracy Pearson is listening, our co-worker is a professional man, great guy, and my family, man, and my band members, if they're listening, all the band members I work with, thank you guys for being a part of it, Frank Brown, Tony Mahone, Strategy Number One, Craig Mitchell, Ray John York, and we go Reggie English, and the list goes on and on. I thank everybody, all my
man. Shout out to haters. Shout out to the haters.
Yeah, I'll do that too. That's too long. That's too long. But I'm good with it.
Hey yo,
it makes me who I am.
Hey yo, you said. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say this. That it's not Photoshop when they see it in the media, and they, you know, I don't want nobody to think I'm Photoshopping. And sometimes when I walk into places, they look like they saw a ghost. I guess they're looking for an overweight or something. But you got to put that time in. You know what I mean?
Yo, You said a name tonight. You said you want to give a shout out to Lisa Muhammad, right? She bought two books. She bought two of my books today. Shout out to Lisa. Hell yeah. To Lisa Muhammad. She bought two of my books today. She supported me. Like, I you know what I'm saying? Like, you need a lot of more people like that that want to support, independent movement.
She understands. And then, you know, she knows she's on my team. You know, with motivating me and getting things done. And I appreciate it. You know, you got to surround yourself with good people. You know what I mean? Even when they go bad.
She bought two of my books today. I was like, she hit me up. I'm like, yeah, I like that. You know, we got to support each other. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what it's about. It's definitely about support. We talked about special education. We talked about the teaching. We talked about the music. Okay, I know what we didn't talk about. How's your love life, cuzzo?
I love Jesus, man. I love
myself. Gotta keep it real. That's the name of my show, Keeping It Real. How's your love life?
I love myself, man. That's good, man.
What?
I'm doing good. I love myself, man. I'm doing good, man.
You love yourself?
I said, I'm doing good. I love myself, man. They have my love.
That's what I always say. Females, they leave me when they find out that Jay Sean loved Jay Sean. You know what I'm saying?
Man, let me tell you.
You like saying, okay, no, for real. You single? What's going on with you? You not talking? What's going on with you? If you're not talking,
you know,
it's cool.
Listen, I'm not complaining.
Okay. You're not complaining. That's a good thing.
That's a real good thing. I'm not complaining because one thing I'm not doing drama. I'm not doing a drama. Even if they had drama in their life, don't bring it to me. So I'm not complaining because they don't bring that drama to me. Because if I don't bring it, and I could complain
give
me, every day
give,
of my
give
life.
Me, give me one sec. Give me one second, cousin. Yo, Farz, you late to the party, man. Yo, Farz. Yo. 3282 going once.
Huh?
Too late to the party.
Okay.
Okay, we got a bad connection. Let's go back in real fast. That's my man. He always call every show. Hey, yo, cuz, look, we got 3 minutes. I got to ask you something that I ask all my guests. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Is love real?
Yes.
Think about it now, what I'm saying now. Is love real? And if it is, tell me why. And if it's not, tell me why. You got 2 minutes.
All right. Love is real.
1 minute and a half, really.
Love is real because I have a lot of love to give, and I love receiving love and understanding. So it's real. It's real. Love is real. Love is real. Trust and love is real. Yeah.
Love is real?
Love is real. Nobody won't be in my circle if I didn't trust them or love them.
Hey, yo, well, you heard it. You heard it right there from my cousin. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in love, but he said love is real. I'm Mr. F Love because everybody who always told me they love me hurt me. But that's my cousin. He said love
that
is real.
Too.
We got 67. I want to appreciate everybody that tuned in tonight. You can still hear this show tomorrow, next week. It'll be on my page, on my cousin page. I want to thank everybody that tuned in to listen on the link, everybody that called in. Don't forget tomorrow night, Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself. My man Forrest Nance got a podcast on health. Blood pressure, diabetes, how to eat to live, not live to eat is a great show tomorrow night. Don't forget my cousin's show on the 19th. If you don't got the correct information, reach out to me or reach out to him on Facebook, Craig Redmond, and get the right information, because I really think it's an 85% or 90% chance that I'm going to be there. Everybody stay safe. You know what I mean? Thanks for tuning in tonight. And have a good night. You know what I mean? And, cuz, thank you very much for joining the show.
No problem, man.
Tonight.
Love you, man.
I love you too, man. Peace.
Man, love you too, brother. All right.